on behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for our Sunday festival. We are very much grateful to all of you for being with us today, especially our two special guests. It has been many years since the Exalted Personality sitting beside me has been among us here in this temple. He comes to India every year, but he's just too busy for Radha Gopinath Temple. But this time in Vrindavan, Badarsana specifically, he was feeling very much ill. So somehow or other we convinced him to take treatment at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And when they found out there's nothing so wrong with him, they released him. And under these conditions, finally, after so many years, he has come to visit us at Radha Gopinath. It is my prayer that after this introduction, he will feel so intensely guilty that he will come every year. He is one of the most popular preachers and kirtan singers and leaders of ISKCON throughout the world, especially in the West. One of the most powerful, popular programs amongst devotees, even very senior devotees, is his creative japa retreats and japa workshops, where he really tries to intensify people's focus on quality, sincere, devotional chanting of the holy names. He also has created the Veda Academy in Germany, which is branching out throughout the world, which is presenting Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's philosophy in ways that are very much accessible and very much attractive to the modern mind. And of course, Satchinanda Maharaj is just such a blissful, loving servant of Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. And he's one of my very, very dearest friends and godbrothers in my life. And I request all the assembled devotees to very sincerely and extremely loudly welcome him to Radha Gopinath Temple. We also have with us a person who comes very often. There's no need for much introduction. He's a family member. Travels all around the world. His humility, his sincere devotion, his deep wisdom is an inspiration wherever he goes. Let us very sincerely welcome His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. We also have special guest from Spain. España? Is that how? That's the only Spanish word I know. Some of them are working with the consulate, others with different business ventures. Very gracious, kind people who have blessed our program today by their company. Let us welcome them to our temple. And we also have devotees from Italy and from Russia and from Ireland and from Germany and from the United States of America and so many other places today. At this time, we'd like to ask Satchinandan Swami Maharaj to enlighten us with whatever happens to be pouring from his very devotional heart.
Thank you so very much, Radhana Maharaj. And I must really say, in your unique devotional charm, you were successful in feeling and making me feel extremely treacherous, extremely guilty of being a very bad character man. No, but this is all an exchange of love. When a friend expresses the desire to meet another friend at his base, at his home, he may use very strong words, and the stronger the words are, the more love is pouring forth from them. So I'm very grateful by your unique paradoxical speech. In one way you were chastising, but in a deeper way you were lovingly embracing me in your heart, and that is always a great benefit or a great occasion for celebration for me. Really, I'm very grateful. My dear devotees, I would like to give a lecture. My dear guests, I want to address all of you on the two primary human needs and how to fulfill them without crying tears, or how to fulfill them in a way that we are really fulfilled in our hearts. I will say just a few prayers and then start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna. Out of the many Upanishads, we find one Upanishad which is very, very interestingly composed. It consists out of questions and answers. The one who questions is Maitreyi, the beloved wife of the saint Yajñavalkya. They sit together in the forest, and Maitreyi asks very relevant questions about many subject matters of human interest, ranging from how to live happily in this world to how to get liberation from the pangs of this world, like death and rebirth. And Yajñavalkya gives answers. Sometimes his answers come immediately, and at other times his answers come after the saint has gone deep in meditation and contemplation and seen with, in a spiritual way, the answer to the questions of his wife Maitreyi. You may know that the old saints in India are called rishis. Rishis means seers. They can see the truth in a spiritual way appearing in their hearts. So imagine the scene, a beautiful forest, nice sun rays in the distance, a lake shimmering with cool water, and under a mango tree. You will have to remember this word mango, you need it for the lecture. Under a mango tree, slightly on an elevated seat, Yajnavalkya, the saint, with grey hair, and before him, very humbly and inquisitive, his good wife Maitreyi, asking a question. O venerable saint, yes, what are the two most essential human needs? What are these needs? When they are fulfilled, the human being doesn't want anything else any longer, because indeed he feels complete and fulfilled. Yajnavalkya acknowledges the question. Very good question, he answers. And he goes deep in a meditative trance, makes contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, and then comes forward with a beautiful answer, which is extremely relevant for all of us. I also feel for the entire world. I have been in different peace conferences with the UN and so on, and I have talked about this, and they all went, yes, what are the deep human needs? Tell us Yajnavalkya's answer. Maybe we can somehow, you know, bring these answers to use for the human mankind, who all look so needy at this time. So Yajnavalkya gives this answer. The two most essential human needs are, check these answers very carefully, if you can deal with them, if they are for you also. Every human being wants to experience love, first need, and every human being wants to give his love. Everyone wants to be loved, and everyone wants to love or express his love. Indeed, when the human being is able to do this, he feels fulfilled. Because out of fulfilling these two needs, everything else comes into his life. If a person can receive love and give love, everything else comes. I didn't believe that really until I came to Mumbai. In Mumbai, I saw one particular scene which convinced me that this answer is entirely correct. I was driving in the car, and I looked at some beggars. They were in a little tent beside the road, or a shekel, and so on. And it was just a moment. You know, we were in a traffic jam, nothing spectacular in Mumbai. It happens very often if you don't know the right times when to travel. And I looked outside, and I for half an hour I was in this traffic jam, and I looked at my neighbors, the beggars. And really, they lived so poorly. But as I looked into their living room, you know, the shack or this tent, I saw love. There was a mother with her little child singing songs to him, Gopal, Gopal. And the beggar man came and looked at his wife and his little son with beaming eyes. And really, the wife looked back, oh, husband, oh, son. There was a giving and taking of love. And then the beggar came out of his little tent beaming with happiness. And everyone who saw the man just went down with his window and gave him rupees. I also put my window down and said, take my meal. I don't eat today. This is for you. Because I felt here's something so beautiful. Yes, these people don't have a lot of money. They are not Mr. Millionaire. They have no political influence and not a voice in the Daily Mirror of Mumbai. But they are so content in their little, let me say it like we said in the room, in their little cozy bubble or atmosphere of love. They seemed content. They seemed complete. On the other side, like all of us preachers, we sometimes visit houses with tremendous luxury, abounding in beauty, and people just acting so bad and so tyrannical and so cold with each other and looking so absolutely distressed and bad. I visited once one of the richest men of India. We met on the Juhu beach and we were walking on the beach and he asked me, so Swamiji, what is the wisdom of today? And I told him some Krishna katha. And then I asked, so what is the business secret of today? And then he, so we became friendly to each other. And he once invited me into his house. A house where you could cut with a knife the dense atmosphere of misery, of not loving relationships, but the opposite. Atrophied feelings, amputated love. I feel, in comparison, I admit this is a little drastic comparison, but just to make a point clear, to experience love and to give back your love to that fulfills the heart because it allows us to enter into a current of, you could say, of loving energy. Now in bhakti, or in spiritual life, we wish to establish this relationship of love to the most loving person, the most lovable person who lives in the kingdom of God, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And as we are successful in making a loving connection, it's called sambandha, a bond of love, a tie of love with God, we feel our needs are very, very fulfilled. There's a prayer in this connection which I would like to read to you. A prayer from Queen Kunti, who had a very eventful life, a life where she saw her oldest son die on a battlefield in the blood of his own heart. And the arrow which was shot by her third oldest son. A very dramatic event for a mother to see how one son kills the other son. It is the most terrible thing which a mother could experience in her life. It is the most heartbreaking thing. And this was happening as a culmination of a series of events in Kunti's life, which were, it would take another lecture to really discuss this. So after this drama of family quarrel, broken hearts and broken love and all that, Queen Kunti, in great devotion, turned away from the world of men, where such tragedies can sometimes happen, and totally directed her entire attention on Krishna, and prayed a prayer which is so much a prayer of trying to establish the loving connection with the Lord. And please hear this. I will read it in Sanskrit because it's just so beautiful. You might feel something, and then the English will come. Tvaime nanya vishaya matiya madhu pateratim udvahatat adagango vogam mudanvati. O Lord, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction and love be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Queen Kunti turns her whole being, her whole emotions, her whole affection towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, praying for a loving relationship, praying to be allowed to that her feelings flow like a river to the sea, into the great sea of the Lord's heart. She prays for this Sambandha with all her being, because she knows that really the human heart feels the highest amount of ecstasy which is not interrupted and disturbed by misunderstanding. When his love flows to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he feels some of the love of Krishna. When His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj visited me in my little eremitage on the top of the mountain in Manga, I was in great pain, physical pain. And he so lovingly came and said, "You need medical attention. Come with me to Mumbai. Our hospital staff will care for you and repair you." And they did. They were surprised. First they put you into full anesthesia, and then they put something into you, and afterwards you are in a new body when you wake up. So successful minor operation and a lot of other medical care, and they repair your car, give new tires, new windshields, and say, "Now go, Maharaj, go." Fully repaired. But there was a time when the pain was so bad And I noticed, what is my shelter now? What is my shelter in the face of physical pain, emotional heartbreak? And what is my shelter at the moment of death, when everything, not just my possessions, but my life breath will be taken away violently from me? What is my shelter in this world? And it is of course very clear, the shelter is the Lord. I prayed, I said, my Lord, I don't want to pray now that you repair my physical body, but could you please arrange something so that I can function? And the next moment I saw His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's smiling face, and he said, after three sentences, you need medical attention. And I could immediately put the two things together, Radhanath Maharaj's smiling face and the Lord. See, if you want to have the love of Krishna, Krishna may sometimes respond by giving you His love through the devotees. The devotees of Krishna, the devotees of God, fulfill a plan of God. They are instruments, so to say. The Christians in Europe have a saying, God works with His hands in this world, which are the other Christians. That's an understanding which they have. Similarly, the devotees, the bhaktas of Krishna, know that Krishna fulfills His plans, which He has for each one of you, sometimes through His devotees. And you can experience the love of God through His devotees. In this connection, I would like to tell you a very nice story. Once, deep in the forest, there was an ashram which had been opened by one singular saint. His name was Radha Mohan Goswami. Radha Mohan Goswami had come deep into the forest and had done his sadhana under a tree. There were still wild tigers there. But because he was such a powerful devotee, soon more became attracted, and then they built this beautiful ashram. This ashram became very popular, but it was still in the midst of the forest, and sometimes tigers would try to enter and steal some from the kitchen. So there was need of keeping a chokidar, a door guard, like our Prabhu there is our doorkeeper. He is the powerful man here. So there was, you call in India, a guard, a chokidar. So it so happened that there was a farmer living nearby. This farmer came one day, knocked at the doors of the ashram because he wanted to visit the temple inside the ashram. But this time the farmer said, my dear brother Chokidar, you are such a great soul. You were the first one to allow me in this ashram and allow me to see the deities of Radha. The deities were called Radha Gopinath in that ashram. I want to just express my gratitude by giving this papaya to you. It's the best papaya from my papaya tree. It is very mature and very nice. The chokidar felt, oh, I'm just doing my duty. The one who really should get the papaya fruit is Swamiji Radha Mohan, who opened this ashram and who made this facility that I could do my service at the garden, that you could, and so on. But he didn't speak to the farmer. He just acknowledged, thank you so much, thank you. Then when the farmer had taken his darshan and had left the ashram, the chokidar went to Swamiji. Swamiji, I always wanted to say this to you, but I'm somehow a hard-hearted man. But today I want to express my gratitude. I'm so thankful that you allowed me in this ashram. Please take this papaya as a token of my love. Swamiji took the papaya and said, thank you. But in his mind he thought, I didn't do anything. I just sat here and prayed, and Gopinath did everything. So when the chokidar was gone, he thought, in our ashram we have a sick brahmachari who already lies for 3 months in his bed. He needs a little vitamin C. So he went to the brahmachari and said, my dear brahmachari, you did such wonderful service. I always want to express this. Don't feel bad that we now nurse you. Please, you take this papaya, take some vitamin, it's good for your health. Me? I'm so worthless, said the sick brahmachari. But very, thank you, Swami. You came to my sick bed and gave me a papaya. This means so much to me. So then, when the Swamiji had gone, the brahmachari thought in his heart, I should really express gratitude to the cook who always cooks the steamed vegetables and baked potatoes for my diet. And when Cook Prabhu came, he gave the papaya to Cook Prabhu and said, for you. It's a long story. I think you slowly get the point. Cook Prabhu gave it to Govinda Das, who chants 64 rounds. Govinda Das thought, I'm just trying to serve. I give it to the newcomer who lacks in faith. I think if he sees a papaya, he will think how great God is. He just packaged a beautiful fruit complete with outside and inside, and his faith may grow. So, the newcomer, what? You are such an advanced devotee, and you give me a papaya? Thank you. Then the newcomer thought, I should really express my gratitude to Brother Chokidar. He allowed me entry into the temple. So he said, Chokidar, I always wanted to say this. I'm very grateful for you for opening the door. Here is a papaya for you. So Brother Chokidar got the papaya and thought, oops, I know this papaya. I wonder how this papaya came to me. Let me track the journey of the papaya. So he went to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, how did you like my papaya? And Radha Mohan Goswami said, it looked very mature and very nice, but I didn't eat it. I thought it should go to our sick man who is always lying there. He needs a few vitamins. It's all right, said Chokidar. That's all right, Swamiji. I just wanted to know. So he went to the sick brahmachari. And I have many other things to tell, so I will make it short. the Sikh Brahmachari said, I give it to Brother Cook. But I so much relished the love of Swamiji. It was much more important than the relish of a papaya for me. Brother Cook said, I took the papaya, but you know, just that someone comes to me and says, thank you for your cooking, meant so much for me that I thought, yeah, I'm complete. I don't need to eat this papaya now. Aha, said Brother Shokidan. To whom did you give the papaya? To Govinda does this. He always chants 64 rounds a morning. Sometimes he fasts. He doesn't come regularly to the meals. I said, let him have a papaya. So then Shokidar came to Govindadas. You received a papaya? What did you? Yeah, I received it, and I thought so much love came from Brother Cook. I was overwhelmed. I didn't need it to eat, so I gave it to the new man. Thank you, said Shokidar. Then he took the papaya, brought the papaya in his room, cut it up, offered it to Krishna, and ate it all by himself. Because he thought, this papaya is not an ordinary papaya. It is a papaya which has come to me by the circle of love. People gave it to each other, but what they really did is they gave their love, their appreciation, their deep feelings of gratitude to each other. It's a love-laden papaya. It went through the circle of love. I now offer it to the Lord. I relish it now. Then when he was in the midst of his eating, Swamiji came. Oh, what are you eating? The Brahmachari could all of a sudden walk again after he had experienced the love of Swamiji. He came in the room. What are you eating? The cook came in the room, and Govindadas came in the room, and finally the newcomer came in the room. And Chogidar said, I'm eating the papaya of love. Would you like to also join me? And they all sat around in the circle and ate the papaya together. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, my dear Radhanath Maharaj, I have picked this story to express something which is deep in my heart. Obviously, the Swami in my story is not Radha Mohan Goswami, he is Radhanath Swami. The people in my story are people from the Radha Gopinath community. A community which has learned, some of the members I guess are still learning, to enter into the circle of love, where you know the true love or true completeness lies in giving and not in holding back, or even worse, in taking. If we can make this story of the papaya a daily affair where we express our gratitude and our gratefulness, and where we also receive gratefulness and love, our love, our life is complete. No further needs. The other needs which we have, needs for security, emotional well-being, some social well-being, physical well-being. They will come once this magical and highest energy of love is flowing freely. You must know, my dear devotees, that deep in the human heart, almost undercover, underneath the surface, you understand? There is a river flowing. It's a river of love. But because we are so often disappointed in this human world, in trying to express love and receive love, and there's so often a misunderstanding, this river of love has become dammed. I'm not so good in English, but I mean with dammed here that there is a dam, a blockage in our hearts, and our love is not flowing freely because of fear, because of maybe disappointment and frustration. And this love, which flows, is therefore creating problems. When energy is not coming out, when energy is not working freely, you become diseased. When the circulation is blocked, or the nervous system is blocked, or the different physical energies are blocked, you become diseased. And this has happened to most of the human beings. This strong current of love is a river of love which is meant to go to God and which is divine. But because we have blocked this in this world, because we don't live the life of ecstasy, we don't live the life of love. We are afraid of giving. We hold back behind our facades, behind which we protect our insecure egos. Therefore, we are frustrated, and our life is a struggle for existence. The human being still feels some love, even when he has damped or closed his love of God. He experience something which is called an overflow of love. Do you know what happens when you put a dam before a river? The water will rise and then it will flow over. So in the human, the divine love is closed up in most human beings, but they experience what flows over. They experience, for instance, love for money, and then that love is called greed. Or they experience love for a beautiful woman or beautiful man. You know, when you come or drive to Mumbai nowadays, you are bombarded by these beauty queen, and there are advertisement looks that kills. And and all kinds of enticing advertisement meant to direct that love which is blocked in some shallow way towards human bodies, and then it becomes lust. It's not the real ecstatic experience, or even something pure, which is considered pure, a family man like I saw, who loves his child. That the original powerful flow of the river of love is now experiencing an overflow towards his child. Do you follow? You follow. But whenever something flows over, which is dammed, it's not as strong as the original current. Love of God is the very powerful energy, but lust, greed, motherly affection, which is very good, I admit, motherly affection is very good. It is not as strong. It is not as fulfilling, and therefore it is sometimes not able to overcome misunderstandings, like the mother may love the child, but we know when children grow up, they give so much pain to the mother and the father out of ignorance, and the love, there's a misunderstanding can happen and so on. Only the original powerful stream of love of Godhead is powerful enough to get rid of all these bad things which happen on the journey of love. Krishna speaks about this point, that misplaced love in comparison to real love. He says, Vitaraga baya krodha mang maya mang upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa putamat bhava magata. He said, what you must become free from if you want to experience the original current, and as you study the things you must become free from, it's divided love, it's overflowing love, it's not the real thing, it's the shadow reflection of love. He says, become free from attachment, this greed, huh? Become free from fear, become free from anger, and become absorbed in me. Take shelter in me alone. In this way, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. My dear devotees, I want, in closing this lecture, encourage you to experience the strong river of love, to bring it out from your heart, to free it from the dam under which it hides, and to let it flow very, very freely. And I will leave you with three points how you can do this. My first point is, to free your love, you have to develop love, you have to develop love to the people you can see before you can love. Or let me say, phrase it like this. Love what you can see before trying to love what you can not yet see fully. Or to translate it into very simple English, love the devotees of God with whom you interact, whom you can see, before trying to develop pure love to Gopinath, to Krishna. Krishna says that our freeing our love has to happen like this. He says, one who says he's directly my devotee, he's not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he is indeed my devotee. So I really request all of you to daily do something where you can express your love towards the devotee. And don't run away when they express their love for you, giving you prasadam, inviting you to a function, like a counselor meeting maybe, or a Sunday program, or I hear tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, there is drama, there are theaters, drama, you know. Allow yourself, don't be so timid, timid means fearful, to go into a loving exchange of devotees. I must admit to you, I'm from North Germany, almost it's a land of ice and snow. And I have learned very much from Radhanath Maharaj and your community, this flow of love. It's surprising for me. I can't believe, for instance, how the devotees treat not just me, but everyone in the hospital. It's just so loving, so caring. And you feel, is it real, or is it, am I in the wrong movie? So, and after some time you understand it's real. It's not an illusory thing. They really feel like that. It's not a movie. So this is my first recommendation. Participate in the circle of love. Become a papaya giver and a papaya receiver, if you want to remember the story. Give every day your papaya. Don't worry, you will get many papayas. My second thing is, make your contact with Krishna every day. Life in this world, Prabhupada said, is almost like living in a hurricane. You know, when you see a hurricane, things are constantly changing. A desk comes flying at you, and then the next thing, a displaced window, and a crutch, and then a pizza comes flying at you. So as we go through life, very often there are surprising events which are hurled at us, like diseases, disappointments, and so on, and unexpected things, surprises. Learn during this time to make shelter, to take shelter in Krishna. Connect with Krishna. Take every day in the hurricane of life shelter in Krishna by hearing some news about Krishna from the sacred scriptures or from the mouths of devotees. Do you know what happens in a hurricane when you find the center of the hurricane, this eye of the cyclone it's called? Then there's perfect peace. So even in difficult situations, when there is maybe some not such ideal situation in your exams, or if you are a Bollywood star and you get kicked out of the movie, I guess here are some Bollywood stars amongst us, or you know, if you are suddenly confronted with illness or with unfortunate, or if you suddenly confronted with tremendous and overwhelming successes, it's all the hurricane. It's all temporary. It comes and goes. Make contact with Krishna and you will be in peace in the hurricane of life. Learn every day to make contact with Krishna. I mean, many lectures have been given about this here in this temple, but you can learn it. It's a science how to make this higher contact. If you are a newcomer in the in this temple, there are beautiful lectures which are really systematically explaining to you how you can experience divine contact in your life. It's wonderful. But here, just for you, I would say, don't be satisfied if you see how your mind is like a hurricane, and Mumbai is like a hurricane. I think you will readily agree. Even a ride through Mumbai on a car is like a major adventure movie. You know, it's like an expedition to the south America in the jungle, you know, it feels so scary when the three-wheelers come at you, and the last moment you think they drive over you, they go yeep, 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 it's a hurricane of life, and I can imagine how passionate the town is and how it takes its toll. Some of you have to drive in the Mumbai trains and buses, which are a minor version of the hellish planets. So, yes, we can talk honestly here. A Westerner like me would most probably not survive a train ride. He wouldn't know how to hang on the tenth person who is hanging out of the window and how to do such acrobatic masterpieces. Life here is tempting. Life is passionate. Life is a hurricane. If you don't learn how to go in the center of the hurricane, that means make contact with Krishna, from which everything comes, you will be washed away by the hurricane called Mumbai. Your consciousness will be washed away. You will be inattentive, disturbed, easily angered, easily put out of your balance, easily crying tears, easily laughing at the wrong moment. Life here is so taxing. You need to learn to go into your center and meet Krishna by either learning how to chant properly, learning how to read in the scriptures, and so on. So these two advices I leave you with. I don't want to speak too complicated. Learn to enter the community of care or the circle of love, or to express your love and receive love. And also learn to let this divine flow of love, which is dammed for so long in your heart, learn that it comes out. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, let's go back to that idyllic scene in the forest which the Upanishads describe. What are the two most essential human needs which, when they are fulfilled, make the human being complete? It's a good question, says Yajnavalkya. And after coming out of his realized trance, he says, to love and to be loved are the most important human needs. Everything else happens when this is taken care. We in bhakti know that the strongest experience of love is when you can make your original relationship with Krishna, with God, when you can become a lover of God, totally immersed in God. And we have many examples in the Shastras of wealthy people who, for the love of God, have forsaken everything, like Raghunath Das Goswami. We have an example like Haridas Thakur, who was in the hurricane of life beaten mercilessly with whips which were meant to kill him. And he took shelter in Krishna, chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you. You chant so beautifully. It's a really lot of spiritual sound which you produce. Thank you. It was a good experience to sit here and hear you. People were murdering him, and he just connected with the Lord and felt transcendental bliss. Later, he had a direct darshan of the Lord. And the Lord said, Haridas, do you remember when you were beaten? Haridas said, yes, my Lord. Haridas, do you... I wanted to come and take these murderers away from you. But you prayed for them. I couldn't do anything. So do you know what I did? And then the Lord turned around and showed Haridas for a moment his beautiful back. And there were bleeding whip traces, or the traces which killer whips had left on the body, and they were on the beautiful body of the Lord. I took the assault, the attacks, the whiplashes upon me. Then they disappeared again. Someone who is in a communion with God, who has made contact in love, that there is a loving relationship, he doesn't even need protection from outside things. The Lord protects him. He may send his devotees, make an arrangement with his through his dear confidential devotees, or he directly may arrange something for you. My dear devotees, please take this serious. Make a loving relationship with the devotees and with Krishna. You will receive all your love you need, all the protection you need in your life, and will be a fulfilled person. Don't be afraid that if I give my love, what will happen? It will be like giving my dollars away, or my American, or my rupees, and then I have no rupees. No. The moment you enter into the circle of love, you will be nourished and supplied. The Shastras tell us, if you water the root of the tree of God, all the leaves and branches will prosper, there will be leaves and fruits that come automatically. If you give your love to Krishna, the fruits of a fulfilled spiritual life will come automatically. But note, you have to give your love through the devotees, or in the company of devotees. Then it's acceptable. I want to thank you very much. This was not a very systematic presentation. I was overwhelmed. Whenever I'm with Radhana Maharaj, I'm just very moved that he is so kind to me. It was really very moving and very fulfilling. And then when I sit with Chandamoli Maharaj, who is also very dear associates, I meet him often in Croatia. That's somewhere near the ocean. Simple geography. the Atlantic Ocean, huh? Somewhere not so close as Spain, but I think Mediterranean Sea won't say much to you, but Adria and all. Yeah, when I'm sitting with the devotees like this, and when I see all of you, I'm very, very happy just to be part of such a loving family. And I did hope I could inspire you. If you forget everything from this lecture, please don't forget the papaya. It is the summary of what I have said. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Gonitai ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Papaya is very ripe. Feels like you've used it for the last 10 lectures.
No, this story is actually with a mango, and I said to someone, please get me a mango. I desperately need a mango. So I could not tell them for what I need the mango, because then the surprise of the surprise effect wouldn't be there. So they all looked at me with blank stares. Why does Maharaj need a mango? Is he a sense enjoyer? And then finally I could find someone who said, we can't get a mango, but we get a papaya. So it's the first time. But in Russia, I told it, I used an apple. Because there are no only apples. But you can also use bananas. No problem. Because the story is neither about mangoes, papayas, apples, or bananas. It's about giving love and receiving love.
If it's overripe, remember that it's the love that you should enjoy. Right? In your hands, it must have ripened increasingly. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Yeah. Chandramali Maharaj, if you like.
The unfortunate thing is I have to speak after Satchinandana Maharaj. But the fortunate thing I just heard is I can only go 10 minutes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itina. Thanks, Satchinandana Maharaj, from the bottom of my heart for such an inspiring and so deeply realized expression of the essence of our practice of devotional service. And I could say that since I've been here for maybe 3 days now, I arrived on late Wednesday, and that has been the mood and the theme of both the devotees and the first day I was here, I was with Radhanath Maharaj, and we went to see Adi Keshava Prabhu's mother, who, as Maharaj expressed today, is in the very last stages of her life on this world, and how being swept into that mood of concern for the devotees, as soon as I arrived, it was both surprising for me for such a quick change of coming from just traveling and just preaching in different places and being pulled into that mood of concern for and love for the devotees. And of course, right after that, we went to see His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, who we all know is struggling to stay with us, and the devotees around the world are praying to Krishna and performing various types of pujas, yajnas, and personal prayers and various ways of expressing their love and concern for Maharaj. So being right after we went to see Jayapataka Maharaj, and again that Maharaj's concern for Jayapataka Maharaj, I was there on that, and again that love, that desire to show our concern and love for a very dear and very exalted God brother. And then right after that, we went to a program, and it was the anniversary disappearance of one of our dear devotees, Raghunath Prabhu. His mother had left the world 2 years ago, and Raghunath Maharaj gave a very, very, very deep and very heartfelt lecture speaking about a culture of love and the culture of care and the culture of how devotees really should interact and experience the process of Krishna consciousness. So since I've been here, and of course the lectures, the mood, and the atmosphere here is always, and then hearing Sachinandana Maharaj's lecture about love and concern and care and devotion and how it centers on both Krishna and the society of devotees, and of course that comes out to all living entities, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed, and at the same time somewhat feeling out of place, because it was more than I had really expected in such a powerful way. Of course, I've been coming here for many years, and as Maharaj said that in the beginning of his introduction, and that's why I come. I come for many reasons, but that's the foremost reason, because this is a place where I can feel that there is deep, loving concern for both the process of devotional service, and that extends itself out in love and care for each other. So in that desire to also experience that, I come here. And I find in any other place in the world, it's not so prominent and so, what we say, dense as it is in Radha Gopinath Mandir. And that's wonderful. And it's actually, it's very rare. Because really, as Sachinanda Maharaj said in his lecture, it's the essence of life. It is life itself. To experience love and to express that love in various ways towards Krishna. And of course, as we develop our love for Krishna, that love extends itself outward to others. And His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, was very much emphasizing that in this world, there really is no love. As Sachinanda Maharaj showed, love for money, or love for position, or love for, let me say, the bodies of others, is not really love. It's just some perverted reflection of our original love for Krishna. But it's been diverted towards something temporary and something material. So as we develop our love for Krishna, that natural love extends itself out to everyone, because Krishna is the source of everything. But how is love expressed? This is an interesting point, because love is expressed by service. Without serving the object of your love, or showing your love through the process of service, really it's just sentiment, or a nice idea, But it really doesn't take root in something practical or something realistic that is the foundation of the living being's existence. It has to come out in service, but not just service. Because we see in this world, people serve each other in different ways. But we can't say that the love that the, or the service that the employer or the employee has for, you know, his employer, or even within the family, as people obligately serve each other as a sense of duty. But real love actually is service with a desire to please. It's a service with a desire to please. Without desire to please, service can just be another extension of one's, let me say, personal ego. That it's maybe good business to do service. But when the desire to please the object that you're trying to serve, then that's actually the beginning or the awakening of love. And how to do that is really taught through the process of bhakti. Because in order to please, you have to know how to please also. Sometimes we see that people want to show their love for others or want to please others, but they don't know how to do it. Prabhupada tells one story how it was actually a real life story in Prabhupada's own early days growing up in Calcutta. It was a young boy. He was about 3 years old. He had gotten tuberculosis. No, I'm sorry, typhoid fever. So the doctor, his mother took him to the doctor and told, the doctor said, the boy has to fast because if he eats food, he could die. So the mother was very much eager to follow the doctor's instructions. So she was administering the medicine and starving the child. Now, the boy, 3 years old, didn't understand why he was not being fed. How could a three-year-old boy understand why I'm not getting food? And so, many times he would cry and ask for food, but his mother knew that if she fed him, then he could die. So Prabhupada is telling this story. He said one day the mother had to go out. Now, the mother also had a daughter that was about 11 years old. And she told the daughter that you watch your little brother, but don't feed him. Even if he cries, don't feed him because he could die. So the mother went out to do her errands, and immediately the boy started to cry. Immediately. And then the girl, she just really didn't understand clearly her mother's instructions. And somehow she became overwhelmed by the emotion of her little brother, and she decided to feed him. Thinking that he wants food, he's hungry, so I should give him something. So she did. The mother came back, and the mother realized what had happened, and she became very angry with her daughter and started to chastise her very severely. The daughter started to cry, feeling very hurt, because all she wanted to do was please her little brother, because he was hungry. Fortunately, the boy didn't die. And Prabhupada explains that this is called misplaced sentiment. She was concerned to give her little child, her little brother, something to eat because he was hungry, but that was detrimental to his overall well-being. So Prabhupada uses this story to explain that service and love means to act within knowledge, to act in knowledge. And that's the process of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people say, well, we should love each other. We should love God. Of course, we should do that. We should love each other. We should love God. But how to do that in such a way is taught through the process of devotional service. Because not only satisfying another person's desire is the best way to show love for that person. You know, some Prabhupada explains that sometimes Krishna, if he wants to favor you, He gives you everything. But if he really wants to favor you, he really wants to show his concern for you, he takes things away. So we may not understand that higher aspect of love, but that is supreme, to actually just, what we say, showing that type of concern for another person's according to their own desire. So real love is based on knowledge and how to serve in such a way that it benefits that person. So that is Krishna consciousness. That's why we follow rules and regulations. Sometimes people say, well, we don't have, why do you have to follow so many rules and regulations? For you just have to love, you just have to express your love, you just have to be yourself, you just have to show your concern for others. But without understanding how to do that, without coming to a spiritual platform of activity, it may just be bodily sentiment and not real concern for the individual. Therefore, you have, just like you have within various types of spiritual, you have the sahajyas. Now, the sahajyas say, there's no need for a spiritual master, we just love God. That's all. And they exhibit their so-called love in various external feelings of emotion or ecstasies. But then again, is that actually love? Or is it just some sentiment, or it's just some show? And then you have the other side that says you have to do it like this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to follow this rule, you have to follow this regulation, and this is the way you do it, and if you do it like this, then that's the best, and you're advanced, and that shows you're the best practitioner. That's the other side, the smartest. The ones who just, they squash the individual expression of devotion by compacting it in a whole set of rules and regulations that are simply meant to, what we say, fulfill the needs within the organization and how the organization should go on. And it actually may be very beneficial in the sense, but they don't understand the process that simply the rules and regulations that may help one get off the bodily platform is not enough. We also have to understand what is the purpose of the rules and regulations. Just like in our Krishna consciousness, there's two things. It's called niyamagraha, or I can't remember how exactly it's said. Niyamagagraha, something. One is to follow rules and regulations without understanding what is the purpose of the rules and regulations, and just following for the sake of following. And as the other side is just rejecting rules and regulations and saying they're not necessary and act whimsically and independently. So both of these are what we say flaws in the process of developing bhakti. Because if you don't know the purpose, and the purpose is to awaken within us the desire to serve the Lord, the desire to love the Lord, and that as that love for the Lord is awakened, that love, it comes out and to various aspects of all of the living entities that are connected to the Lord. And then the other side, and saying, well, we just have to love and that's all that counts and there's no need for rules and regulations. But then again, that may keep one still on the bodily concept of life. And then that so-called love is simply sentiment or simply some kind of, you know, expression of one's ego. So that balance of following rules and regulations with a desire to awaken within us the process of bhakti or devotion to Krishna is actually the essence of Krishna consciousness. So how to show love means to express our love by very carefully practicing the process as given by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas and present acharyas in such a way that our natural loving propensity for the Supreme Lord will become awakened. And that comes by serving with a desire to please the object who we serve. And that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So I don't have too many realizations on this. I'm speaking theoretically. But I'm trying to understand things in relationship that here within Radha Gopinath, I'm seeing that this process, as Srila Prabhupada has given us, is actually seen within the day-to-day life of the ashram, within the day-to-day life of the community, within the day-to-day life of the devotees of Radha Gopinath. And it's very wonderful to see that. And I'm always so happy to come here because I feel protected, I feel cared for, and sometimes it's so much that, as Satchinandana Maharaj says, that there's two aspects to love, to receive love and to give love. But sometimes it's so hard to give love here because you're always getting it. And you just, every time you turn around, there's some devotee or some making some arrangements to see that everything's okay, that you're happy and you're getting everything you need, and that and anything else that we can possibly think of that to make you feel comfortable and be able to associate with the devotees and to practice Krishna consciousness. So that's so wonderful to be here. And I have to honestly say that it is due to, and as Satchinandana Maharaj said, due to the deep care and love coming from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, is taking Srila Prabhupada's teachings and bringing it out in such a powerful and exemplary way. And I've known Maharaj for so many years, and he's always been in that mood of caring for devotees. His natural devotion and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead has manifested itself in so many aspects of his own service towards developing this community in such a wonderful way. And wherever you go, it's anything that's connected to Radha Gopinath is simply an expression of Maharaj's concern for spreading Krishna consciousness in such a beautiful way. And so it's just a wonderful thing. Many times I just feel embarrassed here because I feel like, a sore thumb. Like when you have a sore thumb, it kind of sticks out. It's amongst everything else, and I feel kind of awkward here because I'm still learning what is here and how to appreciate it and how to reciprocate it. But somehow I'm drawn to this community. And again, I would like to just emphasize that all of you who are coming here, just coming here, please take part in this program of chanting, taking Krishna prasadam, associating with the devotees, and making your life more and more, what we say, connected to the culture of love. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about, developing love for Krishna. And as we develop our love for Krishna, as we awaken our love for Krishna, that love naturally comes out towards all living beings. So all I can say is that I'm grateful to be here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Could I give a little commentary to Satchinandan Maharaj's papaya story? In Navadvip Dham, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, he ordered Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to inspire everyone to love Krishna through chanting the holy names. He said, give everyone this message. You don't have to say anything else, just give them this message. Chant Krishna's names. Worship Krishna. Share Krishna with each other. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. He taught people Krishna is not different than his name. Share Krishna with each other. Now the word papaya. Papa means father. And in Marathi, Aya means mother. So papaya means your mother, your father. And who is your ultimate mother or father? Radha and Krishna. Lucky they didn't bring a banana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he was giving out love for God freely for everyone. But the people of Varanasi would not accept it. So he gave an analogy of himself. He said, I am a fruit vendor. And I have so many fruits. I will give them out for any cost. I will give them out for only the cost of one's faith. But how many fruits could I alone distribute? I have tens and millions and trillions. And he asked all his devotees, please help me to distribute this fruit, the fruit of love of God. In this story that His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj explained, the devotees were sharing their love for God with each other. Their love for each other. And when you love God, you see the presence of God in everyone. This is the beauty. In the Bible it is said, love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God, you see that every living being is a part of God. You cannot not love anyone. Even your enemies. If you do not love your enemy, you do not really love God. You may hate the disease, but you will never hate the diseased person because we will see how we are all related. We are all brothers and sisters because we have the same papaya. We have the same mother and father, Radha and Krishna. And every living being, just like the father or the son or the daughter, the father and mother are living through the son and daughter. That is the way we see. When a father and mother die, we say that those descendants, the parents are living through their children. Of course, Krishna is eternal, but we are all his children. And we are all a part of Radha and Krishna. To love Krishna is to love everyone. And to share that fruit of love of Krishna is the highest expression of love. And at the end of the story, everyone together, because they shared that love of God with each other, in the end, they all ate and tasted and enjoyed the fruit. So similarly, when we share this love of God with each other, we all are nourished and we all enjoy the taste of the fruit of God's love. Thus ends the commentary for. And what is the greatest love we can offer? If we can access Krishna's love, God's love within our heart, how much do we have to give others? If you see people starving in the street and you have 5 rupees, how much you can give them? But if you see people starving in the street and you have tens and millions of rupees, how much you can help them? The world needs love. The fundamental, essential need of every living being is to love and be loved. It is the essence of all existence. Without that, there cannot be satisfaction to the heart. Owning things, enjoying through the senses, becoming powerful and famous may give some temporary pleasure to the physical senses and the mind, but such experiences cannot touch the heart. What to speak of the soul? It is only loving and being loved that touches the heart. A child. I have seen wealthy families where the parents are so busy, they give their children so many things to play with and so many facilities to enjoy. But the children are agitated. They're lonely. What they really need is the love of their parents. And they need to express their love. It is the fundamental need of every living being. The perfect and pure love, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Kodiye Udvai. Love of God is within the heart of every living being. But as Maharaj said, it is damned. It is blocked. And therefore we don't really have access to it. When we personally dedicate ourselves to a spiritual process that awakens that love, that releases that love, that when you connect to God, when you connect to Krishna through that love that is within your heart, you access Krishna's love, which is unlimited. And then to love someone in this world, it's not only your own little love. It's not just your sentimental, emotional love. It's not even just your own soul's love. You've accessed the unlimited love of God, and that flows through you. When you love God, you share God's love with others. You become an instrument of God's love. An instrument of Krishna's compassion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, when there is love of God within your heart, it manifests in this world through you as compassion. Compassion means love of God that is directed toward humanity and all other living beings within this world. Is it your compassion? Is it my compassion? It's something much greater than that, that is within us. It is God's compassion. It is Radha and Krishna, our mother and father's compassion, that is within us, that is the integral nature. It is our essence. When we receive that love, Radha and Krishna's love from within and without, and then when we share that with others, that is perfect loving reciprocation. It is the experience that everyone is longing for. On the path of bhakti, it doesn't mean that to become spiritually realized, we have to shut ourselves off from this world. The path of bhakti is about accessing Krishna's love from within our own hearts and receiving it in this world and sharing it with this world. Prahlad Maharaj, he said, some people want to go to the Himalayan mountains and just shut themselves off from society for their own liberation. But I don't want that. I have tasted the sweetness of your love, my Lord. I want to share this love with everyone and anyone. And Prahlad was such an example. Even enemies who tried to kill him. He was forgiving them and giving his life to help them unconditionally. And in his prayers to the Lord, he was praying, forgive them. Give them your love. Liberate them. Let them be happy. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. This papaya story is very deep. Machchita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam. The greatest pleasure for devotees is to share Radha and Krishna with each other. Nam Sankirtan is that. The congregational chanting of the holy names, we come together and we celebrate. Sometimes we sit and we clap. Sometimes we sit on our beads together and chant quietly. Other times we're dancing very joyfully with each other. And really, what is Sankirtan? We are all sharing our love of God with each other. We are all trying to be instruments of God's love within us with each other. We're all part of Krishna. Who am I to love? But if I could be an instrument of the unlimited love of God, if you could be an instrument of the unlimited love of God, to receive it, to give it, to share it, that is spiritual culture in its perfection. And it is with that longing that we come together, we raise our arms, and we chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Srila Prabhupada, our Gurudev, he wrote that love of God is not an artificial imposition put in this one's mind. It is our nature. It is our essence. It has simply been forgotten. It's who we really are, what we really are. This chanting of the holy name cleanses the heart, removes the obstacles, and allows God's love to flow through us unconditionally. There's no greater need than this in the world today. All the problems essentially are due to a lack of that love. Due to frustration, we create a civilization where we do not respect Mother Nature. And we create things that are profusely destroying the ecology of Mother Earth. And it's a serious problem with very Even the greatest politicians do not know what to do with this global warming, with the greenhouse effect, with ecological disasters that are just coming more and more and more. And the economy is falling. Why? Because of greed. What is greed? It's people looking for that experience of love through power, through acquiring more and more wealth, never satisfied. Bhagavad Gita says that all of these aspirations are like fire. The more you feed the fire, the more it blazes hotter and hotter and hotter. And so many diseases. Problems are all over the world, very difficult. The essential solution is to awaken within ourselves and help others awaken their own spiritual essence, which is ananda, satchit ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. We are eternal because the soul is not subject to birth or death. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Full of knowledge because the soul knows its relationship with God and knows its relationship with material nature and knows its relationship with all other living beings. And it is ananda because in that knowledge is our love for God, which is the essence of everything. Ananda means satisfaction, complete happiness. You cannot give happiness unless you have happiness. You cannot give real love unless you have real love. And there's such a great need. So yes, let us really focus, not just as a traditional religion that we do on Sundays, as the focus that we harmonize every aspect of our life around, awakening that love, accessing that love that is within ourselves, and being an instrument of God's love in everything we do within this world, especially by sharing Krishna through his holy names. And then every day could be a great festival of papayas. Thank you very much. Should we have papaya festival now? It means Radha Krishna, who are none different than their names. We can all thank you very much. Now we will do chanting.